I wanted to start this thought. I'll never be able to.
And you'd like to stop because you want to think. And it's recording again.
Why I became my own brand of Marxist. Looking in the childhood scratch, looking in the childhood, would I could talk as well as I think. That's presumptuous, but thoughts move rapidly through the mind, and it's difficult to capture them, to type them, to verbalize them. As a child, I was undoubtedly one of the poor in the community. I had less of material comforts, although my mother made every effort to give me what she could. My dad was ill, an invalid from World War I, a very bitter, cynical person. He spent so much time being engrossed in his own pain that he finally debilitated his health. Finally, his health was destroyed. It was a little town in Indiana. The moment I think of it, a great deal of pain comes. I don't think I shall mention it, although later we brought out, because it's no way of reflecting upon individuals, just a little Hoosier town on the Ohio line. Thus, I acted out against the conformities in the community. First way, because I was never accepted, or I didn't feel accepted, I joined a Pentecostal church, the most extreme Pentecostal church, the Oneness, because they were the most despised. They were the rejects of the community. I found immediate acceptance, and I must say, in all honesty, as much love as I could interpret love. They were persecuted beyond measure for their beliefs. But after some time, intellectually I outgrew Pentecostalism, but still a rebel, still not a part of the society, never accepted, born, as it were, on the wrong side of the tracks. Thus, I'm facing the middle years. My memory dims, or perhaps it's because I have kept down much of the pain in my life in order to endure it, suppressed, because it seems that I've had a great deal of pain. For people who at least live in the Western world, advanced societies, my pain cannot compare to those of the third world who suffer such misery beyond human description. But as I grew, I then at one point met a communist. I'm stepping past a number of things because of no particular relevance. And I do not see myself as a great skilled author, any skilled author. So thus I will confine myself to just patterns that may explain Jim Jones and perhaps help others from making some of the same errors. I also hope it will make it possible for some to reach the sensitivity that I've reached for people and for living things. This communist was beyond me in terms of intellect. I didn't understand all the arguments. I was a very, very young person. I'd identified strongly with the Soviets for some reason as a youngster when the Soviets were marching and news was praising them highly for their endurance in turning back the Nazi hordes in Stalingrad. I used to play as if I were a Russian soldier rushing through the snow and killing Nazis, driving Nazis to strike, killing, driving Nazis back. It was a identification again with something outside of the American scene, perhaps because I used to play the role of a Japanese because I have a certain Asiatic appearance. And people would be amused by my imitations of Hirohito or Tojo. always identifying with something other than the American society, because it did not, had not given me a feeling of acceptance. This communist, though apparently cold, befriended me in a way that no one had ever befriended me. I was working in a company and had developed a sense of egalitarianism, a sense of sensitivity to need of others, and at that point both out of a sense of rebellion, someone who was more of a macho type personality and a racist, and I'd early developed a sensitivity for the problems of blacks, too, probably feeling as an outcast. I left my father's home early and had to go to work and live away from the home because I brought the only black young man in the town home to visit my dad and to visit my home, and my dad said that he could not come in. I said, then I shan't, and I did not see my dad for many years or for some time thereafter, leaving the town, going to work at a very young age in a hospital some 16 to 70 miles removed from the area. Anyway, this chap, as I started to say, I'm rambling. I mentioned, I think earlier in the discussion, I mentioned that I rebelled against a certain macho type racist, and I took money from him and did all sorts of sensitive things with it. I had a way of controlling the money of the salesmen that they brought it in, and giving them credits for their sales, and I even shifted some of his money to another man who had a problem, as I believe, and I'm vague about it, but it seemed like a handicapped child. Then I took some money myself and utilized it, as young kids do, I presume. At least this young kid did. Some of it sensitively, and some of it, I think, as I recall, for personal indulgence. Anyway, I was apprehended. The questions arose. Something was wrong with the books. And this communist supervisor shielded me, utterly protected me. I don't know what he did. He must have made some adjustments with the company finances and utterly protected me from what would have been a terrible charge of embezzlement, I guess. And it was the only time I have ever done such a thing. Anyway, you can imagine the endearment I felt for this man. Then he came to my home, was married at a young age. My wife and I came to my home after that. Of course, I gave up my job. That was worked out. I gave up my job, but with no bad record. And he dined with me, a lonely man. Perhaps, as I look back, perhaps he had other designs. He was a bachelor. He could have been. But anyway, for some reason he gave me his address and phone number, wanted me to follow it up. But life and its consuming pressures and having to get out and work to maintain my family, we were beginning to adopt a youngster at that time. So I didn't follow up for one reason or another and bore a great deal of guilt all through my life, because the one man that saved me at that time from certain prison I was in, it was controversial. I'd already developed my own controversial stance on race. I had begun to champion some of his communist ideology. And anyway, as I said, I don't want to give times or facts because the man may have long since gone through the situation, and he was a good man, and he may have made his transition to other views or positions. at least that moved me even further to consider Marxism. And I should call myself a Marxist, because certainly no one taught me my brand of Marxism. I read, I listened. Later in the university, I went back to the university and I met another couple of communists. I guess I sought them out. Old-time pro-Soviet communists, they were so gracious, they received me in their home. Father and the son, the mother died. Humble home outside of Bloomington, Indiana, where I went to university. Friendship again seemed through life to be extended by people of that sort. Or maybe I sought them out. I can't say with utter honesty, but I certainly was shown a great deal of friendship by those types. I only remember one communist in Bloomington who was very gross. Then, of course, my circle went that way. Those were the people I sought for inspiration. Then I developed a definite concept with the problems of the world, the misery of the world, 2 out of 3 babies going to bed hungry, as late as the Nixon years, when President Nixon pronounced that that was the case. I don't remember the statistics at that time, but they certainly must have been hard indeed. It seemed gross to me that one human being would have so much more than another. I couldn't come to terms with capitalism in any way. I wanted to. I wanted to retreat from this gnawing sense of conscience that pushed me forward. Then I decided, where can I demonstrate my Marxism? I demonstrated it in many places and almost got into trouble in classrooms. An agent checked on me because of my activities. It took me to a Paul Robeson event. I went through considerable harassments that are unpleasant and painful. My mother was questioned by the FBI for several hours, brought out and interrogated in front of her, set out in an open area where all of her fellow workers at the factory would see her, and she was a shop stewardess. And I recall thereafter was relieved because being questioned about my activities. She took the Fifth Amendment. In those days, you did not do that. That was tantamount to the mission of being a communist. And my poor mom knew nothing at all of politics. She was as apolitical as she could be, but she believed in her son, which certainly has helped. Perhaps to some degree it hurt, but I would prefer the chances of the kind of belief that she had. She was a little indulgent of me at times, certainly from her limited means, but solid as the rock of Gibraltar. And she endured, not knowing even what I was up to. They didn't even tell her that it was merely because I had been to an event where Paul Robeson sang and participated in Chicago. She didn't know what I'd done, but she defended me. She said, I refused to testify on the grounds of my intent to incriminate me or my son. So on down the road, I became even more alienated by that event. I decided, how can I demonstrate my Marxism? The thought was, infiltrate the church. So I consciously made a decision to look into that prospect. Particularly was it inspired upon me, I say to infiltrate the church. It really was brought to my attention by a very kindly, and I pause because of, again, feeling that it can reflect on others, a man who had a great deal of conscience that seemed to be compatible to my views, who was a church administrator of a denomination, and he encouraged me to think about being a pastor, and so I did, very quickly did. I'd had my religious heritage in Pentecostalism, deep-rooted emotions in the Christian tradition. And I deep love which I share to this day for the practical teachings of Jesus Christ. It's always been a sort of dual concept, a doubter and yet a believer. I certainly had great questions about anthropomorphic beings and a loving order to the universe, but Jesus Christ, to use a kid's phrase, greatly turned me on. And I tried very hard through my years in the church, whatever someone else might look upon my role, however they would look upon it, they could see a great deal of sensitivity to the Christian teachings. Not only my brand of Marxism, but in Pentecostal tradition, I saw that when the early believers came together, they sold their possessions and had all things common. So I tried very hard to live up to that concept throughout my years. The early years, I approached Christendom from a communalist standpoint, with only intermittent mention of my Marxist views. However, in later years, there wasn't a person that attended any of my meetings that did not hear me say at some time that I was a communist. And that is what is very strange, that all these years I have survived without being exposed. Media, news media, were concerned that we were overreacting to coverage. It was only that that concerned me, that my exposure as a communist would affect the lives and well-being of my most precious family and dearest associates, and in fact all of my church that had become an extended family. I was fearful of nothing else, nothing else in my life that I was afraid of being revealed. But I think the media made a great mistake in thinking that we, during the Nixon years, assisted, at least I got the impression from some that they have thought that we assisted people like Farr because we were trying to get on the good side of the press. I really didn't think you could get on the good side of the press, because being a communist, I believe that the press, the myth of the adversary press, to me, was very, very real. But whatever adversary role it played, it looked like it was played out in the Nixon years. So I took my stance. And then again, when I saw Fresno's situation, it reminded me all too well of that era, when newsmen going to jail for their sources about corruption at a high level. I think by the same token, people who are anonymous sources could be devastating to little people who are unable to protect themselves. But the right of confidentiality of sources to reveal high-level corruption was very, very important, to me. One of the reasons I'm telling my story is because I certainly don't feel any inclination as a writer. I have still great apprehension that the press, with the exception of some in the black and some of the communist and socialist press, I have a feeling that it would not give me a fair story. And that's all I want, is a fair story. And again, I really don't, at this point, give a damn as to whether I have personal fairness, but as I am affected, so are all of my people. And I have developed through the years a high sensitivity to all the members of my church. They are, as to me, an extended family, and I don't want to hurt them anymore. I want to try to give them some relief of suffering. So perhaps this writing will help that. I feel no idea that writing's that significance. Great writers have written, and their words have been forgotten too soon with their departure, or if even remembered at any time, whether they were alive or dead. So my main source of writing is not that I'm going to be in any way, main purpose of writing is that to help protect my people, because I really have a strong desire to die. At the time of this writing, I have been in prison in my mind for many, many years, constantly trying to conceal a life style alien to the American society that would have caused great pain for my devoted and precious wife And those who followed on in my footsteps to become socialist or communist, some I don't think understood the difference, but everyone in our parish certainly subscribes to some form of socialism. Anyway, I'm not about to make any kind of great conversion speech. I would not want to do anything but give the absolute honesty of my soul. I told you the duality in my mind. A part of me emotionally is caught up with the Christian tradition. I'm more comfortable in the expression, the warmth of a Pentecostal setting, and that's why you saw that kind of a lifestyle, because it was in that setting of freedom of emotion that I felt my first acceptance. I found the same kind of spirit in the communist rallies that I attended. And today, no matter what disillusionment I may have, and I have come to the point that I'm a communalist, I sought haven in a socialist country. I theoretically feel that communism is unobtainable in the terms of man's present evolution and the nuclear technology, but I do believe that a communal lifestyle offers much to people, and it certainly is greatly accepted in the republic in which we lived in. At the time of this writing, we have received gracious acceptance. It's not easy. It wasn't easy forging out a new community in the midst of a jungle, and we have done that. And we've been able to rehabilitate many people through our structure, some sent by courts, as Mr. Guy Ryder, the Examiner, wrote. But this just causes great, great mystery to me, that when Jim Jones made his transition to pure, honest objectivity about himself and lost the zealot aspects of his belief, which could have been dangerous because we went through the transition in which we even looked at violence. We were so alienated. There were those that spoke it. There were those of us that championed it. Then about just a few years ago, we rejected that. We decided that violence was counterproductive. It's dangerous to the people that get caught up in violence. We always found that so many people who would suggest violence, later would go out and be very cruel in their lives. So we found that the revolutionary violence was an excuse for just acting out from a baser instinct, their ill feelings towards humanity and life in general. Then the most, I suppose, horrible fact of this present fuselage of news attack is that the people that were used as sources were, for the most part, all of them, the most militant, most radical advocates of not just violence, but terrorism. Most of the witnesses that appeared in the news article against us, and I don't ask you to take my word because I know the only one side has been listened to. I say challenge them to a polygraph test, challenge them to truth serum. Test the accuracy of my voice. Under a test situation, I'll be glad to submit to a voice print on that particular subject. They went out one time from our church, having stripped him one man's house, Mr. Christ's phone. They stripped his phone, tore it out, so that they would be able to get away, knowing what they were doing would be not to our liking, contrary to our own beliefs. They got wire and equipment, so they said, and they stole his rifle, an expensive rifle of $1,000, took a rifle, and I think borrowed over $1,000 rifle, and never returned to this day, according to his report. They went out to, from the looks of a map and their statements, to blow up some dam. They were going to do a revolutionary thing. One of them named their child after a violent revolutionary. Odd that news people didn't bother to check that part of their sources. Then others of their sources suggested the most of all, they were most strong promoters of the unjustified means, raising money, doing anything. I didn't conceive of those notions. Not once did I conceive of a notion of doing anything other than being completely, sensitively, I didn't conceive of those notions. I didn't conceive of any notions that to do devious things to parishioners. But there were those that went out that did. Those that wanted to, they conceived male ideas that were far out. But my problem was that I didn't check those people early enough in some of their actions. They also took financial advantage of us. We have witnesses, and let them again take their own tests, because all of our witnesses have now been discredited by the obvious attempt to apparent attempt to frame us. Let them take lie detector tests or truth serum if they can deny it. They stole money from us. They lived off of us. One that said they had lost all their property. They lived off of us. One couple lived off of us for years. One of them was so depraved sexually that they molested one of their own children. Oh, more than that. A number of them molested children. We dealt with them because we always believed that direct therapy, confrontation, catharsis, encounters could help people through, and we've helped a good 90% of all that we ever dealt with through, so we didn't leave open exposure to the public or to outside agencies. We dealt with it inside, but we did openly confront matters in front of the whole church. And one of the women that did the most talking in one of her revelations about herself, and I wouldn't reveal it, but she's hurt so many others, I think that she needs to face her own self. She said that her sexual pleasure came from imagining a child being tortured. Let her, again, take a test and deny that, see if she can deny that successfully before an objective polygraph test that we all agree upon. The matter is that created the greatest difficulty for us in People's Temple, because we rejected violence at that juncture when those folk went out totally. We decided we would work within society and attempt to make changes within society to show that communists were not bad people, that they cared, that they were sensitive. We made errors, undoubtedly we did, in some of our disciplines, some of our structures, but this business of beating children to unmercifully, no way. I took even beatings for children that were far more severe than any child ever was given. These decisions were made through group efforts and parental consent, but most part our therapy was not one of coercion. But we found that some people were masochistic, and in order to keep them from not a simple embrace of a long-lost friend, like was suggested, who happened to be a lesbian, but to get a young woman out of an adult relationship that was very ill indeed with another woman, plus her antisocial behavior that would put her in jail, kept her stealing that would have was harmful to her and her community and her family and her church, she agreed to a spanking, and her parents did also very cooperatively. It's most sickening to see people who now come out against an institution that has achieved so much good. We have saved homes. Now we're being accused of taking people's homes. Taking people's homes, the few homes that have ever been turned over to us, the people have gotten far more out of it and will get far more out of it if people will quit trying to destroy us. Even have gone so far as to try to poison people on this side of our work across the seas in our agricultural project. No, what other church transports its people and non-members, people that judges have asked us, people that were absolute hellraisers in the Bay Area and Los Angeles Basin, got them out of dope traffic, pushing, heroin pushing, violence, gangland leaders. Now they're the most else, the socially contributing people that you'd want to find in the structure of our commune, which is very relaxed. Certainly nothing like the type of thing that you've even heard in the news. It's just a few miles away from San Francisco. Very happy. We are very happy we've had visitors such as Lieutenant Governor Dimerly, and we're very happy to have objective witnesses to our program at this time. We had an offer. We made an offer to a local channel to do that, but that wasn't taken up. But since then, there are those who want to look at it in their own bias, and we refuse to have anyone come in unless we can be assured of a mixture of people that will go away and give a honest report. It's a lovely place with progressive schools. The housing is most adequate, simple structure, aluminum roofs, lovely beds and beautiful mattresses and all the bed linens they need and all the food they can eat. I mean, all that they can eat, literally. Recreational sports, games, chess, good film library, movie brought in, swimming, boating, fishing, and a reasonable day's work of work, just an 8-hour day, is the custom. Some choose by dedication to help others have this opportunity to work beyond that, but there's no requirements. We have a machine shop, sawmill, mechanical garage where people learn trades. I wish I'd learned more. It's such a healthy feeling of knowing how to do things with your hand. Even though I have a college degree, I feel like I never really knew how to do anything of a practical nature. Yet nonetheless, we continue on. People's Temple found a solution. Agricultural project found a solution in its legal services, drug rehabilitation program, physical therapy, and its medical facilities. All this ballyhoo about healing, and I certainly can heal, and we're glad to take polygraph.